She was a woman of faith. She believed that simply by touching, there was healing to be found. Don't know what her theology was or how it was structured. And despite all the other limitations upon her, despite all the negative messages that were coming her way, God's grace was there for her. She's a stunning person of no name. So, Jairus and the woman both came to Jesus with heart-wrenching needs. Jairus came in fear. He was looking at losing his daughter within the hours. He was open and public in his fear. And in the course of the story, Jesus progresses him from fear to faith. We'll get there. The woman, and the reason we know that is because of Jesus himself. Jesus' word to him later on in the story is, "Do not fear, only have faith." So this assessment of him being afraid is Jesus' assessment. The unnamed woman comes in faith, private, secret. But she sank to fear when Jesus demanded she show herself. Jesus' message to her when she came in response to his call, she came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, telling him the whole truth. Jesus' message was, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." So, these stories, one wrapped up inside the other, one journeying or being taken from fear to faith, and the other one coming in faith that then reached its limit, fell to fear, and Jesus restores her, and she can proceed in faith. Both were challenged, and both received more than what they had ever expected. And when Jesus says to the woman, "You go in peace," you know, it's so easy for modern Westerners to think, oh, that just meant she went with her heart within the normal range and she felt calm and could sleep well that night. No, shalom, not just a feeling of being relaxed. You can go now with your life restored as it should be. You can go with your circumstances healed. You can go and live life. Shalom. All because her bleeding had been healed. Now, may we see ourselves within this story. May we see ourselves within this story. A story of fear and faith. Are you like the woman coming in private, cautious faith when we come to Jesus? Or are we more like Jairus, coming in desperate fear? Different ways to come to Jesus. Or, if you benefit from having a hero or a heroine or a model, who would you look to here? Who would be your model as to how you actually come to God? Do you come to God like Jairus? Or do you come like the woman? So let's consider a few things to help us perhaps answer that question. I'll begin with a Latin phrase. It's a bit out of fashion to offer a Latin phrase, but here it is. Lex orandi, lex credenda, which means the law of prayer is the law of faith. Or the way you pray reveals what you believe. So I've mentioned this before, and it happens to be a sort of a main plank of Anglican spiritual theology. If you want to know what people really believe, listen to them pray. And that goes to the songs as well. Listen to the hymns and the songs that people offer. And that will give you a good idea as to what they really believe, and particularly in times of stress and difficulty. So, we're listening to the prayers of Jairus and the woman, inasmuch as they acted their prayer. Jairus comes with fear in his heart, reaching out in despair to someone who might in time be able to save his daughter. I really relate to this as a pastor. I have to say, I meet Jairus a lot. People often come to me in fear, wanting to reach out to God for help. And my role is to help them do that, or to be the one with the power to bring the healing or the restoration. I've met Jairus many times. Sometimes in life and death matters, other times in matters I find quite hard to place. Let me put it this way. Would you have gone to Jesus for a blessing if you had bought a new car? And if so, why? Would you have gone to Jesus if you were starting a new business? And if so, why? Would you have gone to Jesus if you were going on holiday or had a distant family member visiting you? Why? Would you have gone to Jesus for a blessing if you were pregnant? And if so, why? I wonder if risky activities, or activities where there is an apparent danger, and with that comes a sense of fear, something here could go terribly wrong. This car could be my death. This pregnancy could be a great disappointment. This business could flop. This journey could have great danger. I wonder if risky activities and the fear that they generate lead people like Jairus and the Jairus in us and among us to seek Jesus, to deal with the fear and the danger. This is the way Jairus comes to Jesus, and I suggest it's not the way of faith. Fear can take us to Jesus. Now, Jesus does not rebuke Jairus. He doesn't say, "Jairus, I have to say, as a religious leader, your spiritual theology is a bit deficient. Have you read this book?" No, he doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't do it. He doesn't despise him. He loves him, he receives him, but he loves him too much to leave him where he is. Did you catch that? He loves him as he comes, but he loves him too much to leave him where he is. As I was preparing this, a verse from Isaiah came to mind. So Isaiah, looking ahead to the suffering servant who we see in Christ, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. A bruised reed, those stalks of grass seed that we see around, I sometimes see them bending under the weight of a bee in my garden. It's like Jesus, he won't break it. Or a wick, a candle that's struggling, or a little oil lamp that's flickering. He won't snuff it out. If that's how we are, the bruised reed with its structural strength weakened, or the spluttering candlelight, Jesus is patient and gentle. But, and it's a big but, Jesus in his grace receives Jairus and us in fear, but he will not leave us there. It's like he's committed to our growth, our maturity, our reaching the fullness of the stature that is assigned to us in Christ. We may come in fear, but he won't leave us there. So whatever circumstances you face, from medical emergency through to major purchase or acquisition in life, let us hear Jesus' words to Jairus. Here it comes. Do not fear. Only believe. Only have faith. Only exercise faith. It might look so spiritual to come to God with our fears and to stay that way for a whole course of our life. But it's not Jesus' vision for us. And Jesus is saying, don't be fearful, even in a religious way. Don't let your desperation take you to Jesus or a pastor or a priest or a shaman or a guru or whatever. This is stock natural religion. It's not about faith. Now, at the risk of being culturally offensive, let me give a very concrete example of this in relation to something that Jesus himself faced. Blessing babies. Blessing babies. When a baby is born, there's the cultural context will determine what mother and or father need to do. Now, to give you a baseline, here we are in Napoleonic Europe. Harman, drawing on your recent experience, when a baby is born, what is dad supposed to do within a day or two?
Register at the civil municipality. 3 days.
3 days.
3 days.
Okay. So you go to the gemeentehuis and you say, I'd like to register the birth of my son. Was that a happy moment?
Well, they came to us at the hospital. So we were served very well.
They came to you?
Yeah, so the municipality came to us and they said, hey, we hear there's a baby born. Would you like to register it? And I said, why not?
There you go. So it's at a hospital. Usually in the Netherlands, most babies are born at home. And so the onus is it 50-50 now? Right. So all I'm saying here is, okay, there are things that happen when a baby's born. And every culture has expectations and arrangements. This is what you do. So here they've become it's about registration is one of the big things that happen. But, you know, you also in the Netherlands sent out the baby card so many weeks later, don't they? Typically a stalk with the hanging nappy and the baby and, you know. And in the Vonwake, people put out something in the front garden and a hurrah and a name on the front window. So these are all things that's absolutely stock standard and normal. So many Europeans used to consider the baptism of infants as something you had to do to protect them from demons, from sickness, and from going to hell. Not that long ago. That is a sort of a whole level of significance that had been attached to it, a bit like modern inoculations. My point is this. When a baby is born, do we do things out of fear or out of faith? Are we like Jairus, desperately fearful about the vulnerability of our child? And that's how we relate to God, and that's how we come to Jesus, as he did. Jesus had compassion, and he responded, but he was not going to totally buy in to this economy of fear. That's the beauty of Jesus, full of grace and truth. He meets us where we are. If we come in fear, he will meet us there, but he will not leave us there. And when he could, he switched Jairus from fear to faith, even in the face of the ridicule and unbelief of people around him. When he called Jairus and said, don't fear, only believe, the knockers and the mockers around him started laughing and cackling. Ah, know, Jairus, it's past believing. Your worst fear has been realized. Don't get carried away. So if you do identify with Jairus and how he approaches Jesus in fear, I want to draw you away from that by looking at the woman, the unnamed woman, as a better example of how to come to Jesus in crisis. She had cause to be afraid. She was breaking the social boundaries that had been laid on her, and she was setting out to touch a holy man. The crowd could be angry, and in a moment they could become a mob, as crowds can do. Jesus could be indignant and angry at her, and yet she persisted. This is this deep secret faith in action. Her feet and her hand acted this out. Her faith was that God's wholeness and healing for her were somehow there in Jesus. She intuited Christmas before it ever became a big feast. She did not need to solicit Jesus' attention or gain his attention in any way. She just needed to touch, to connect, and believe. She lived in that economy, and it's the right economy, not the fear economy, but the economy where God responds to faith. I have been in so many committee meetings in my life so far. And if I had a euro for every time I'd heard someone say, I'm concerned or I'd be afraid that this is going to happen. It's usually a subtle way of torpedoing something. Flash up a danger, bears on the road in the Netherlands or something like that. Very rarely do I hear people say, I believe this is the right thing to do. Faith or fear? In management, it's there all the time. Because it's in us. Jairus and the woman are both there. So when she acted in faith, God moved. And Jesus, he's like someone on the sideline. He knew something had happened, but did not know what. It's awesome. It's very revealing, isn't it? It's an experience I have a lot. Something's happening. I don't know. But there's something happening here right now. Something of God is at work. And here's Jesus the same. It involved him, and he didn't know what it was. And then he utters that great line, who touched my clothes? You could take that right out of context, couldn't you? Who touched my clothes? Is he suddenly worried about his clothes? No, he asks because he's wildly curious about anyone who's operating in faith. Lots of people may have incidentally brushed by or touched him. That was just a collision. But no, there was something operating here in the hand that touched him intentionally. And the story is worth quoting here. In verse 32, if you're with me in Mark chapter 5, he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. So having come in that private, cautious faith, she's now overtaken by fear. And that happens. I know from my own experience, it's so easy to wobble. You take the first step well, it's like Peter on the water. And then, you wobble. And then you have to get out of that fear and be ready to take the next step well. It's as if we all have a quotient of faith or an amount that we can operate. And we get to the end of that, and then fear is waiting for us. Unless we push through. And Jesus drew this woman through. And he says to her those beautiful words, "Go in peace." This place right now is a place of terror for you, a place of exposure, a place of open shame, even though you know you've been healed. And he wipes that away. Go in peace. The deep shalom of God. And so the healing was much, much more than physical. It was social, economic. She could have been married within the year. Her whole life changed. So as I said, faith can wobble, but Jesus reaches out to steady us. So, coming into land, who were you in these stories of fear and faith? Do you typically come to Jesus in fear, or do you come in faith? It's your question. Are you typically like Jairus or the woman? And then, making it a bit personal here, what do you expect of Jesus' ministers, pastors, priests, that sort of people? Do you need to activate them and say, "I've got this problem, I need you to do this by then, or I'm in this situation and you need to," as is sometimes said to me. And I think, that's like Jairus. I've got this situation, I need you to do A within this time frame. That's fear. But if it's there, be clear about that. The second question, but do you have a desire to move forward as a person of faith and leave fear behind? Do you have that desire? All of us have our frontiers of faith, all of us. All of us have that dotted line somewhere where fear might kick in. And that's human. And it's part of our limited fleshy makeup. And all of us, Jesus calls forward. Might be a size 4 now, whatever that means. And Jesus calls us to become a size 8. Now, the business of being church and coming to church to worship every week, I would hope that somehow in God's economy, all of us, through the decades of our lives, through all the challenges and the inevitable crises that come, that boundary, that frontier of faith moves forward. That if we start somewhere at age 20 or 30, by 40 or 50, it's bigger. And by the time we get to 60 or 70, we're approaching giant stage. The development of fears, Stefan asks about. That's the very point. Do you live out of them? Or do you... and respond and engage God out of your fears? Is that the way it always is? Or is that shrinking as our freedom to relate to God in faith and live in that grows? Jairus or the woman? There are real dangers. Life is lived at risk. Money can disappear. Jobs can collapse. All sorts of things can go wrong. Some cells could start misbehaving tomorrow. It's happening all the time. So we don't deny that. But do we live out of the fear of that and relate to God out of the fear of that and treat God as somewhere between a fireman and a doctor? Or do we relate to God in faith, seeking to connect and in trust? That's what I bring you from the story of Jairus and the woman. What I suggest you do is take the story on holiday with you. So wherever you are in the next few months, some watery place under a tree, some terrace or place of recreation, kick back and think, yes, Jairus and the woman. Where am I in that story? Where do I want to be? And let us be resolved to come to God in faith and not fear. Good idea? Mark's nodding. I've got support in the front row here. Okay, shall we pray? In faith. Lord, as we just sit here now, I pray that even as you have been speaking to hearts and minds, that may be clear for all here this morning.